First, the infamous announcements, but first a question. I asked the same question in the first service. How many of you have had at least 2 cups of coffee this morning on this side? Okay. How many of you have had at least 2 cups of coffee this morning? Okay, I know which side to look at. Announcements. This is one that I added. I had the privilege to add. We have prayer every Wednesday at 5 p.m. in the 3rd and 4th grade classroom. There's a few of us that go in there, and that's in the kids' chapel. And it's not, you don't have to go in there and pray like, you know, John the Baptist, you know, or like you pray like Jesus did, or, you know, or in old King James or anything like that. You just have to show up for a couple of minutes if you want to and join together with us as we pray about the nation, the things that concern the church. So that opportunity is available on Wednesday nights, along with the Wednesday night fellowship. Afterwards, Pastor Thomas teaching, and he is doing a marvelous job. One of the best teachings through the book of Judges I've ever heard, and I've been doing this for about 30 years now. So I want to promote that, and he's doing an excellent job. Now, a couple of announcements concerning today. Following the second service, Paul will have the men's fellowship. I encourage you men to be a part of that. Great time of encouragement. Paul is not a bad-looking guy to look at. I mean, there are sometimes you get people who lead studies that are just ugly. You know, and you have to look at him. You try to look at the Bible, but you have to look up at him occasionally. Paul's not like that. He's pretty good looking. Okay? That's a better plug than the first one I did for him, so. And thanks for that $100 bill, by the way. Home fellowship this Saturday, Tom and Valerie Statman at 5:30 p.m. For more information, you can go to the app, the website, or email fellowship@loveneverfails.com. Now, for next Sunday, one of the greatest events that ever takes place in the month happens next Sunday. Grace Connection. It's for us generation that knows more than most of you think we do. Right after second service in the cafe, I get to lead it, and lead it, by that I mean I have to watch Lyle about taking too much food each time he comes up. Raise your hand, Lyle, right there. Next Sunday, adoption support meeting is immediately after the second service in fifth grade classroom. Neil Grimer at adoption@loveneverfails.com. Neil, are you in here? Must have got adopted. Also, we have a prayer request here. We have been praying for Jimmy Borden. Jimmy's going to raise the hand that doesn't have the pacemaker, the other one. Which one did you get? That was a good one, okay. She got a Cadillac of pacemakers. We were at the hospital there when they were getting ready to put it in. And, you know, it's wonderful having that little Cadillac sign on it. And stuff. Joke. That was a joke, okay. Also, on Wednesday nights coming up in August, we're going to have Making Calvary Your Home. If you have made Calvary Chapel Fort Worth your home, we would like you to join us in August. We're going to have tables set up like we did last year so you can find out more about the different ministries that we have going on in the church. So that's coming up this next month. Now, big prayer for the mission team. They're going to leave Thursday for Reynosa. And they'll be gone Thursday through Sunday. And Steve, I think I see you back there, don't I? Yep. Raise your hand. That is still you. Yes. We will be praying for them while they're gone. They're going to go down and build 45 houses this time. Of course, they're going to be Legos. They'll be about this big. We'll want to make sure to keep them in prayer. Now, let's pray and jump into the Word, shall we? Father, thank you for your word that, Lord, you promised that when we need your word, you'll bring it to our mind. But, Lord, to bring it to our mind, we also have to hear it or be in it. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us here to focus, completely upon what you want to say to us as individuals. Lord, I pray that you not allow us to be thinking about someone else or some other event or some situation, but that, Lord, you would allow your Holy Spirit to do a marvelous thing here this morning. And I'm so grateful that you're going to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, you will not be able to turn to every scripture I'm going to give you today. I use the same word second service that I use first service. The word is we are going to have a plethora of scriptures. Most of you can't even spell that. I can't. I've just heard it. But don't try to turn to it. Just listen to the scripture. Take a note. Jot it down if you'd like to, or get the CD afterwards. But everything I say is going to have something to deal with the idea or the issue of the great illusion, the title of the text, the title of the message that has been going on in America today. And I'll share more on that as we go through it. The word illusion can also be called delusion. We are now living in a deluded, deceived America. It states in 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." And it's happening more and more throughout our country today, more so than ever before. Many over the past 30 to 40 years have taken what we know or what we knew as America the Beautiful, the land that we love, and they've changed into something that's an illusion, a delusion, something that we can't understand anymore, something that we can't put our finger on and say that this is the America I grew up in. This is the America where we didn't lock our doors. We didn't have to do that. We leave them open at night. Now when kids, if they don't see bars on a door, they wonder what's wrong with you because of what's happened in America today. Through illusion, through sleight of hand, or by getting our attention on the wrong issues, there's been a delusion created, still called America, but nothing what it used to be like. Now, sleight of hand or those who are illusionists, they get you looking in one direction while they're doing something over here. Pickpockets are great at it. I have 7 of your wallets right now in my briefcase, in fact. Check that later. I put them in the offering, by the way. Now, how are these delusions possible? They happen too often right under Christians' turned up noses at the things that are going on in society today. Christians, now I'm speaking to you Christians directly, those who call yourselves followers of Christ, they have the love of Jesus Christ living in them, the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to you right now. We turn our nose up in the air and we lose the focus of why we became Christians. Ephesians chapter 2 states that we were sinners, saved by grace, that he took us and he allowed us to rise from the dead and made us alive and whole again so that we're able to lead others to that same commitment that we have made. We've lost our focus that Jesus came to save sinners, as it states in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You're a sinner, but he still died for you. We forget that. And we turn our noses up in the air. Or we look at somebody who's creating a sin or having a problem. And we go, "Gee, I wouldn't get involved in that. Dirty, rotten touch that. It might rub off on me." You notice I'm speaking to this side, don't you? We can't turn our noses up at people who are deluded. People who are missing the mark. We got to love them into the kingdom. Amen. We can't judge them. We weren't judging ourselves when Jesus died for us. We didn't have a clue what was going on when he went to the cross for us. We have been deceived. We've been deluded into thinking perhaps that we had something to do as Christians with the freedom that God gave us. That maybe some of us were like me, so good looking that God couldn't pass us by, that we had to go into the kingdom. Or others think, man, I was so smart, God needed me in the kingdom. You didn't have a thing to do with it. He chose you because he loved you. And he loves each one of us beyond what we are possibly even able to imagine to this moment and forevermore. As written in the book, Limits of Power and Quoted, the big lies, and I'll put this part in, or devil's deceptions, are the truths that remain unspoken. That freedom has an underside, or that there's something underneath there that's stirring, that maybe we have something to do with. That nations, like households, must ultimately live within their means. That's history's purpose. The subject of so many confident pronouncements, and that it remains inscrutable or unknowable. You see, the problems we face today are structural problems in America. And morally, the old America is not coming back. Our financial system was taken hostage and looted by bankers, brokers, and speculators who told us that the old means of making capital by producing and manufacturing was outdated. They assured us that money could be made out of money. They insisted that financial markets could be self-regulating like all financial markets throughout history that may have thrown off oversight and regulation. Ours has also collapsed. Now it gets interesting in the great deceiver's bag of illusions. Did you know? Now this is just speaking of just one little sleight of hand where maybe we were focused on another issue and something happened over here that many of us didn't hear about on the news. Speaking of illusions and overspending in the government, the U.S. Coast Guard undertook a 5-year, $24 billion program called Deepwater. They added 13 feet to 8 110-foot vessels. Then when they were done, they had such severe structural problems, they all had to be retired from service. In fact, one of them just ran into a car, and that's why the beeper went off. All of that money, and they can't even use the vessels. Did you hear that on the news? No, you heard something like Made in America, right? This was done in America. They were made in America. They were changed in America. Our problems are structural. Our railroads, our roads, everything is going down the tubes where other nations are taking care of theirs. The deceiver, he's given us an illusion over here, a sleight of hand, while something else is going on over here that's making America worse than what we could possibly imagine. Did you know that speculators, and do you know what a speculator is? Speculator is nothing more than a risk taker or someone who, let's say, they think in a week oil is going to go up to $90 a barrel, so they'll buy up a bunch of oil and try to make money off of it. They speculate. They take a risk on it, right? Speculators, risk takers, or investors in the 17th century were hanged. Today, they receive billions in taxpayers' dollars, and huge bonuses. Did you know that on Wall Street, every day, a millionaire is made? Every day, a millionaire is made on Wall Street. How did we get this way? I believe that it states in Proverbs 4:23, it gives us an answer. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Church, Christians, little Christ, those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Have you kept your hearts right with God's word? Are you being filled with his goodness and his graciousness? Are you being judgmental? Are you being a basher? Are you being someone turning up their nose at the issues going on around us instead of showing the love of Christ in a way that others can see and say, I don't know what you got or how you got it, but I sure want some of it. Because you can't buy it in a box. You can only get it as a gift. And when it comes as a gift, then you can also give away some of that gift you've been given to those around you. Have we lost our light that once used to shine so bright? Have we lost our savor as salt? The wisdom of God tells us to be determined, to stay focused, to be courageous through the power of His Holy Spirit. Yet I also believe it's not hopeless, nor are we helpless. Why? Because I believe we must pray down a revival. I asked for that song to be played that Clay played, Revive Us Again. I sang it as a child. Oh, God, revive us again. Why? We need to be alive again. We need to wake up as the Church of Christ and stop losing ground and start gaining ground again and bringing other people into that love that the Lord Jesus Christ has so bountifully poured into our lives. Now, am I all the time this giddy Christian going around saying, oh, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so? No. Sometimes I'm ornery. Ask Marie. Maybe 3 seconds out of every 7-8 days. Or maybe it's reversed. I don't know. But at least most of the time is the light of Jesus shining out of you so that people look at you and they say, you know what? That person's different. There's something about them. And I want it. That's what brought me back to the Lord. You know, I had to go to a Baptist university to learn about drugs. And it was out of the Baptist university I finally found out what Jesus was really all about. It was after I'd gotten out of it that the love of God was just, it immerses you in such a way that you have to let it out. No, I'm not always a great light-sabered Christian, but I give it my best shot most of the time anymore, and even more so as I'm getting older. I mean, once I passed 105, I decided it was time I really better start. We're to stay determined. The songs from years gone by, like Revive Us Again, we sang. It's our only course of action along with prayer. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. And then we shout, Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. It's a prayer. It's not just a song that someone made up. It was a devotion that was given to the heart of a person who wanted to be made alive again in the things of God. We give all glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Revive us again. God, help us revive us again. How we need it. How we need to be awakened again. Beloved, we must wake up. Time is short. It's so short. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15 states, For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Now listen to this. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Revive us, Lord. We pray. And in Romans 13:11, it says, Do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Last night I went to one of those, I won't name the box because that would be advertising, but one of those little boxes by one of those stores, and I saw a movie there. And it was called The Remaining Horror Movie. Well, Marie always tells me, don't you dare bring a horror movie home. I can't even startle her. You know, she says, you want to collect my insurance too quick? So I looked at it, and it was a movie about, of all things, what happens if you miss the rapture? And it said, horror movie. So I called Marie up, and I said, Marie, I'm bringing a movie home. And she said, what are you bringing? And I said, well, it's called The Remaining, but it's a horror movie. She went, really? I said, yeah. So we got it home and we watched it. And it was about the things of Revelation that happen after the rapture of the church, and it was a horror movie. You don't want to miss the rapture of the church. It's time to wake up. Are you a Christian? Now, come on. You know. I can't tell you if you're saved. None of us can tell each other if we're saved. But I can certainly tell if light's shining out of you at times. And you can certainly tell, and you know yourself, if you're saved. And you can have that relationship with Jesus. Simple. Just say, Jesus, take my heart and make me whole. I want to know you more than I've ever known you before in my life. Help me to be right before your eyes. A revived heart has determination. A revived heart has focus. Focus on giving out the great love of Jesus to those who will hear. Not on judging and bashing and turning up our noses or saying, oh, I'm not going to get around them. I may become like them. Well, I know that it's easier to be pulled down into a chair than it is to pull somebody up out of a chair. But you should be strong enough as a Christian that you can help those you're walking beside at times to see the light and to come to the light so that they can know your Lord. Dear God, oh, that we would become people of the Word again like we used to be. We used to all bring our Bibles. We had our, man, I remember when I came back to the Lord in 1983, I went out and bought the biggest black Bible I could find. I must have weighed 20-something pounds. And then, and on inside, on each side, I went 1 foot, quarter inch thick of metal between each cover. You came to Jesus or you came to something. That's the way I felt. But then I realized God showed me it's not by beating up people that they come to Christ. It's by loving them. You love them so much they can't hardly stand. And they say, I just got to have some of that stuff. And that's how you win them to the Lord. John 8:12 said, when Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He was talking about us Christians also being lit, set on fire with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Bill is going to be teaching in the book of Acts. And if you remember, in the book of Acts, there are actual cloven tongues of fire came and set on top of each person's head. I was praying for that because I figured if I burn off the rest of my hair, I wouldn't have to get any more haircuts. My wife now would not like that, but I would enjoy it. No more hair to mess with anymore, you know, how good it looks. It's right now, it looks like a ball with the light shining on top of it. I noticed some of you have put on your sunglasses, but I want to be on fire for Jesus again. I want people to know I got something different. Something that's been given to me free that I can give to them. I want to be the light of the world again. I want to have the light of His love and His grace in my heart. I want to be right with my wife again. Like I should be continually, not just most of the time, but all the time. I want to be right with people. I want them to see the right Jesus, not the illusion that America has given out today and too many pastors have given out. That's what you want to call them. Matthew 16:24-25 said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I remember singing so many years ago when I was song leader in our little one-room country Baptist church where I first came to the Lord back in 1962. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by. In this new America, this deluded, this illusion of America we have and in many churches, we too often say, when an area is brought up to serve in and the Lord is moving in the midst or a ministry opportunity arises, We don't say, oh, Lord, don't pass me by. We say, Lord, please pass me by because I'm too busy. I got too much going on. I can't get involved in something like that. There must be someone else that can do it instead of me. That's not Christianity. Christians are doers. They apply what they hear. Like Pastor Bill would say, it's not a two-part deal. It's one part. You believe and receive, and you do. You act upon what you've received, and you become that light the Lord Jesus Christ is. Do you remember what Isaiah said when God came looking for somebody to serve with him? Isaiah chapter 6, when he came into the temple, he said in verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom shall go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Do we say that today when we up from the pulpit so often, when we ask for almost every time we have to ask for more volunteers for things? Do we say, huh, me, I'm ready, let's do it? We don't say that, do we? Why? We got too much other stuff going on. Too many other things have filled our lives. Christians, I'm not talking, if you're a non-believer, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Christians, Christ-like, little Christ, lights of the world that go out and want to serve, want to use their hands to promote the love of Jesus Christ. Beloved God, I believe that there is a great shaking that's coming to this world. But first, we must pray in a great awakening, a revival. I believe we must pray in a return to the words of God that will set us free at least one more before his return. Ecclesiastes 8:5 states, he who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. It's time and judgment is coming. We need to wise up and be ready. We can see through the illusions of the great deceiver by having our hearts broken over the state of what's going on with society today and with the people that we work with. I have the opportunity on Tuesdays and Thursdays to work in that 40-story building downtown where they have 777 Main Street on the very front of it. And I get in there and I see all of these people with, you know, walking back and forth and things that they're talking about. And some of them are oil speculators or they're bankers or whatever. And it's all about worldly stuff. All the opportunities. You think I don't take advantage of them? I will talk to anybody I can get to stop long enough. I've had people there, they know me by name now from just being there on Tuesdays and Thursdays because I'm whistling or singing or something's going on that I just look like I'm having a good time being there. And they're, oh man, it's only Monday. I don't know, Friday, or it's Tuesday. And God calls us to be lights no matter where we are or what we're doing to draw people to him. How does God do it? How does God get us soft enough as Christians to understand his love that we need to give away? Jeremiah 23:29 states, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Let me ask you a question, Christian. Is God's word like a fire to you? Yeah, I've noticed a great decline on Wednesday nights. God's word has been a fire on Wednesday nights. God's word has broken hearts on Wednesday nights. Now, there's some that can't make it. They're working or whatever. Well, hey, you know what? So am I. I'm working every single day of the week as well. But I want to be here Wednesday. Why? God's word is a fire and it breaks my hard heart when I get too filled up with myself. The great deceiver with his bag of illusions and diversities, his mimics, he's outdistancing us, Christians. He's taking more away than we're gaining to the kingdom. Paul stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice that simplicity. Verse 14 and 15, same chapter, 11. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. There are a lot of those characters around lately, especially in America, saying, you know what they're saying? Hey, it's okay. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right. It's the same thing that they prophesied, the false prophets, back in the Old Testament. Say, hey, don't get so shook up. Things are going to be all right. It's all going to work out in the end. Just don't cause a stir. Don't get ruffled up. And Christians, that can't be you, because I want to see people saved. And I want to run the race well. I want to finish it. And I want it to be a good race. I want to make it all the way through. And I want to take others with me too. I want to be like a Velcro Christian. You know, like those guys you throw up against the wall and they stick to the wall? That's what I want to be. When God breaks our heart with his love, we truly see the condition of society around us. And we will, I believe, again, start lighting up America. We as individuals will then want to touch at least one individual with his love. Now, let me ask you a question. I'll ask this side first. I know you can't touch everybody with the love of God. You know, Billy Graham gave it a good shot, Pastor Chuck. I know you can't touch everybody. But question, can you touch at least one? Can each of you find at least one person that you can touch with the love of God on a regular basis? And I'm not talking about going up to them and say, look, I have decided that I'm going to pick you and I'm going to touch you all over with the love of God for the next 40 years till you change. Because they'll probably shoot you. I'm just talking about being the light of the world to them, praying for them, and praying them into the kingdom. Now, this side, just one person. Can you pick just one person and pray for that one person and keep praying for that person and love that person? Don't bash them. Don't judge them. Don't figure out all the things they're doing wrong. Just love them with the love of God and bring them into the kingdom. Just one. Because eventually there's just going to be one person. When that one person gets saved, the Father's going to say, son, go get the church. It's time. And then they can watch that video I told you about. But take somebody with you. At least one. Take with you into the kingdom. Pastor Bill, at least twice in the last couple of weeks, has quoted a statistic that 95% of believers in America never lead one person to Christ. 95% of believers in America never lead one person to Christ. And I just ask you to pick one person. Imagine if however many of you there are, if 95 of you don't do a thing and 5 of you do, at least we've gained 5 more into the kingdom. We don't want to be deceived, church. We've got in front of us a harvest full of people who do not know God's word. They've heard delusions and illusions and weird things about God's word, that it's going to make you rich and you're never going to be hurt, or you're never going to be sick, or you're never going to have problems and stuff. Let me tell you something. If you're going to pick up your cross and you're going to carry it daily, you better get a pair of tweezers and a magnifying glass, because there are splinters in that wood and they're going to get to you. And those splinters can be called persecution, because you will be persecuted for carrying up that cross daily. There's a harvest in front of us of people who don't know God's word. Let me ask you a question, another one. Do you know God's word? Or is it just something that happens to be done on Sundays when you come into church? Or during the week, do you think about God's word? Or are you in God's word during the week? Maybe even just one verse. Just one verse. Get a devotional. Just one with those flip over things. Just one verse. Get that verse in you. Pray that verse over that person that I know you're going to pick now to help come into the kingdom. Do you believe what it states in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That can be you. You believe that? You believe that scripture? You believe those scriptures? You believe those statements that came from the very mouth of God? God breathed? Being empowered with boldness from upon high and through God's Holy Spirit, opportunities abound around us. But what's our focus on? Have we gotten lost into the illusion of the cares of the world concerning God's word as is spoken of in the parable of the sower? I found out earlier, a man remembered when I did the teaching, the parable of the sower, no root, no shoot, no fruit. Then about 4 years ago, but one little section of it, I think, is showing what's happening in America today. It comes out of Luke chapter 8, verse 7 and verse 14, where Jesus interprets what he just says about throwing out the seed, God's word. It states in verse 7, and some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, speaking of God's word. Verse 14, it states, now the seed that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked out with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. That's called discipleship. Christians, the Bible says you are to make disciples of men. You're to be saved and make disciples of men. Be fishers of men. That's what it tells us to do, Christians. So, are you a Christian? Are you making disciples? Just one. I'll challenge you to just one. Make one. Make them a disciple. Love them into the kingdom. And please don't think that I'm in any way saying that we're to go out and start bashing people or judging people or trying to pick the worst person we could possibly find and say, you sinner, you vulgar. Not that. Love them. Don't judge them. Don't turn your nose up at them. Don't bash them. Ephesians 4, verse 2 and 3 states how we're to do it. It says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, here in our own body, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 13 through 16 states, how long do we do this? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery or illusion or delusion of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But, now hang on to this, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which, now get ready, every part does its share. Raise your hand. You're a part. Are you doing your share? That's a bold question, but it's a true question and it's scriptural. Every part doing their share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Pastor Thomas touched on this briefly on Wednesday night, that one of the greatest problems we have in the church is disunity. And the world sees that disunity and they say, why would I possibly want to go and be a part of that? We need to unify, we need to pray in a revival, and we need to be awakened to the things of God. And we need to light up this world again, as it should be, because we call ourselves Christians. I hear people say at this other job that I work at, well, the good books say, and then I'll say, what does the good book say? And they're like, well, I don't know, but I know the good book says something about, and it's some weird issue. And I get my opportunity then. You see, they're there. But if your focus isn't in the right place, you miss it. You miss your chance. And you want to have your focus on the things of God, the good things. Start with just one. Just one. Why should we even be thinking about these things? Luke 12:37 states, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Now, why are we to be ready and watching? Luke 17, verse 26 through 30 states, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, when is that going to happen? Two cup coffee side? When's that going to happen? States in Matthew chapter 24. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now do you see why we must have revival and not fall into the delusion, the illusion of the America that we are in now? Am I glad that I'm living in America? Yes, I am. Because right now, at this very moment, someone is probably having their head removed for being a Christian or being shot for being a Christian in other nations right now or being imprisoned. But not in America. It's like with the speculators and the bankers. And if you are one of those rascals, I know you're a good one. You're giving out the light to help, okay? I'm not coming down on you. But you want to be very careful about the way that you're living your life at this time, because I have seen things in prayer. There's things coming that are going to shake this world, and they're going to shake America as it's never been shaken before. Our infrastructure, our railways, our roads, our what we used to put our hand to and fix and keep in good working order, we don't do anymore. We hire it out to somebody else to do it, because America's focused on other things like Wall Street, such as that. You got to see or understand that Tuesdays and Thursdays, I work for a CPA that works with multimillionaire speculators and bankers and oil well owners. And that's what I hear them talk about as I do their taxes and so forth. So I know where their hearts are and their minds are. But do you think that I'm not looking for an opportunity? Man, oil makes it just a little bit easier to slip in there. You know, to get in and make just a little comment about something or the other. I had a guy the other day, he has 20 wells. He was complaining about the cost of right now of oil per barrel. I think it was at a 60 a barrel or something like that. He said, I've got 20 wells and each one's only kicking out 200 barrels a day. I want it to go up to 100 a barrel. And here I am hoping it goes down to $1 a gallon. Yeah. I mean, think of the oddity of that. This guy's he's got thousands of dollars. He's holding a check. He said, oh, you better put this in too, that he had just gotten for almost $20,000 from one of his wells. But I look for opportunity. Why? Because I'm focused on the right things. I'm not focused on all of his stuff. I'm focused on him. He's my target. I love these new little icons they give you on the iPhone now. One of them what do they call where you hit with the arrow? The bullseye? The target? It's a target where you can hit it with an arrow. I put a target on them. And I shoot to get their heart. Because I want to see them come into the kingdom. We must have revival. We must heed God's word, and we must be prepared. I've seen pictures of things coming, as I've stated before, that are going to shake our nation. But may I offer you this? By staying close to God and being in God's word and staying focused on what he's doing, you will be taken care of. And will you suffer? Perhaps. Probably so. I didn't say that you wouldn't suffer. Instead, God's word states in Psalm 97:10, you who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. That's good news, isn't it? You like that word? There's other good words like that in the scriptures too, if you read all the way through. It's called mining for nuggets, jewels, and gold, and silver. Proverbs 10:16 states, the labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. And finally, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will suffer persecution. That's where I talked about the tweezers pulling out the splinters from the cross. You've been carrying your cross lately? Have you decided to focus on one? You probably already have someone you're focused on. Praise God for that. But you who are Christians, if you haven't focused on someone to win, today's the day. Don't put it off any longer. And for you who are not Christians, you are pushing the envelope, the old saying goes, because time is short. Now, as Sam comes up, I'll share one final thing with you. After all you've heard, ask yourself the question, how will you be found at the return of the Lord? I don't know. That's not my question. I know how I'll be found. But how will you be found? You ask you that question. When the Lord returns, how will he find you? Will he still find faith on the earth? Will he still find himself lighting up the world, or will it be completely dark when he returns? As for my wife and I, we've decided. We've made our decision, and we've put a plaque up. It's on our front door, and it's been in our house for many years now. Same statement, maybe a different plaque, but maybe several plaques, but they all say the same thing, and it's this out of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Stand with me, please. There will be people that will pray with you up front at the end of service. If you are not a Christian, a scripture I just read should at least entice you to ask some questions about Jesus, the light of the world. Or if there's something going on in your life, or if you just say, you know what, I need some courage. I need to be more bold and not be afraid of what they might say if they persecute me. Then come up and get prayer. Pray with somebody. They'll help you to understand that as you two join together in prayer, that in this house today, the Holy Spirit has visited and He's spoken to hearts. And He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Now let's sing. And I found out we're in the key of E. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me, and I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. In Jesus' name, God bless you.